everyone, welcome back to another episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. So if you can tell from my voice, I'm really excited about this week's episode. I've just spent my Saturday morning planning it all out and kind of reading some articles, and yesterday I was listening to a really great podcast on Diary of a CEO, which I'll come to later. But yeah, this has been inspired by quite a few different things and is also kind of an accumulation of different bits and pieces that I've picked up over time, and I'm really excited because I think I've planned it all out, and I think the way that it is linking together makes a lot of sense in my head and is not necessarily something, like, it's not necessarily topics that have been linked directly before. So I'm excited to see what you think, and I'm not too sure what I'm going to end up calling this episode, but hopefully from the title it's something that interests you too. So I don't think I'm going to do too much of an introduction. I might do a few little gratitudes, but I'm just going to get straight into it because I have a lot of things to discuss. To give a bit of an overview, I'm going to talk about creativity for the most part, and doing that through various different lenses, basically. So I'm going to look at creativity from a personal point of view briefly, and then for the most part talk about it more widely and talk about the decline in creative subjects being chosen to be taken in schools by students. And I'm also going to talk about AI, very topical at the moment and kind of terrifying, but also there's a lot of potential in this field, I think, which I'll explain. And I'm also going to talk about kind of the difference between what creativity is, how that is a human quality and like one that's so important. And then finally, I'm going to get onto masculine and feminine energies and how in our very patriarchal society, we have probably skewed the balance of this, and it's something that we can definitely work on. So that's like a whistle stop overview. But I'm going to get into it all in loads of detail, and I really hope you enjoy it. So first of all, a couple of gratitudes. So I think the first thing that I have to be grateful for is just the freedom that I've had this week. It's the first like full week I've been off, well, I say off, I've finished my degree now for about a week and a half, and I am loving the freedom. Definitely was a bit of an adjustment initially, as I spoke about briefly last week, but yeah, now I'm just like really enjoying the opportunity to kind of be more flexible with my time, to listen to my intuition a bit more, and just to do what I feel is what I want to do on each day. Nothing too radical, I've just been doing pretty simple things, but I've been really enjoying it. I also have been grateful for the sense of routine that I have. Like I said, I like the flexibility, but I'm also definitely a creature of habit, and I really like having routines and structure of my day, especially in the mornings. If I don't have something to get up for, then I don't know, I just feel like a little bit on edge, I feel a bit anxious, I like need to be kind of getting on with something. So yeah, I've been on a really good kind of streak of doing yoga like every morning for a while now, and it just makes such a difference in my day. I really notice the difference if occasionally I don't do it, and that is, yeah, it's something that I haven't had for a while because I kind of like wasn't really doing yoga as much as I used to for a while, but now I'm like back on it and I'm really enjoying it, so definitely gonna keep up with that. And the final thing, what else am I grateful for? I'm reading a really nice book at the moment. It's called Cleopatra and Frankenstein, and it's called that because the two main characters are called Cleo and Frank, which I just find quite entertaining. But yeah, it's a really interesting read. It's quite differently written to other books that I've read. I find it sometimes hard to, I think what it is like her writing is quite implicit. She doesn't necessarily come out and just say things as they are. She kind of like hints to it and you have to put together the pieces, and it's quite an interesting read to just like get stuck into. It's a lot of character development. It's really interesting. So I'd recommend that. It's a fiction book by Coco Mellors. And that was recommended to me by my friend Rosie. So thanks Rosie, I'm really enjoying it. But anyway, let's get on with the main section of the episode, and I would love to know what you think, so do get in touch if you listen all the way to the end and you have thoughts, because I want to continue this conversation on. I'm really, really interested in it. So yeah, let's get into it. All right, so first of all, let's start with kind of how I've been feeling about creativity recently. I think this is a good intro into the topic. So for the last like few months or so, I've been working really hard on my final project for my degree. I wanted to put a lot of work into it and I did really care about getting a good result in that, and I cared about the project and making sure it was like done to the best of our ability. So yeah, I've spent a lot of time working on that, no regrets, but I did notice, particularly in the last weeks or so of doing that, that I was like slowly, I wouldn't call it burnout because I still was taking breaks, and I've learned to manage that a lot better than I have in previous years, particularly like second year exams was not the one. I was getting burnt out so often. But I think I was getting burnt out in terms of not having a balance between being productive and being creative. So you might have noticed I wasn't really putting out any podcast episodes. I kind of wasn't journaling as much as I normally do. I wasn't taking as many photos as I normally do. I was just kind of like getting through it and not really having that balance between doing things and being and kind of just like creating things for fun. And I noticed that that had an impact on my mood and how I kind of see myself, I think maybe my self-esteem. And it was interesting because it wasn't necessarily that my self-esteem decreased. I think it was just that I saw myself in a slightly different way. And I think that I'm quite a well-rounded person. Like I have a lot of different interests and I like to be doing different things and to be busy with different things. And I think throughout my degree, the podcast has really helped to keep that balance, particularly doing a subject like physics, where you have like a lot of maths, a lot of sciencey, it's a lot of science content, basically a lot of coding. And I do really enjoy all that stuff, but I think I have lacked the creativity. I've also like recently noted how when I was feeling like I was doing too many physics modules, it's actually really great because you can choose to do 10 credits like outside of your degree. So I did a geography module and a psychology module and a French module. Like I was doing different things throughout, and I don't necessarily think I picked up on my reasons for doing that. I think it was more of a just like, oh, that'd be cool to do that. But looking back, I think I recognised that I was wanting to be a bit broader and to do more creative subjects, basically. So that's kind of what I've noticed in myself recently, and I want to bring in a couple of things in this episode. So the first thing I want to bring in is talking about the decline in creative subjects being taken by students in schools. So this is particularly problematic. It's not necessarily obvious why it's problematic, but I think by the end it will be clear why this is. So first of all, there's a quote from the V&A, which is a museum in London, and they were writing an article about the importance of their work for kind of inspiring kids to be creative and take creative subjects in schools. So a quote says, "Alongside personal growth, a founding inspiration for the V&A was the importance of teaching design education. Our fulfillment of this mission is today all the more vital considering the staggering drop in the uptake of creative subjects in schools in recent years." So they say that over the last 15 years, there has been a steady fall in the number of young people taking creative subjects at GCSE, with design and technology recording a 67% drop between 2010 and 2019. 67% drop in students doing DT at GCSE. So if you're not from the UK, GCSEs are the kind of like exams that you do at the age of 16. So from the ages of like 13 or 14 to 16, you're studying about 10, like 9 to 11 subjects kind of thing. And you have a few options in that. So you can choose to do more languages, you can choose to do more humanities or more science or like computer science or design technology, art, etc., music. And yeah, the V&A said that there's been a 67% drop between 2010 and 2019 in people doing DT, which is pretty staggering, like they say. That's a significant change in only 9 years, which is kind of, I guess, so you're at school for what, 5 to 7 years if you're at sixth form as well. So that's like two students worth of going through school. That's a really significant change, I think. So then I was reading an article from The Guardian, which says that it was kind of talking about this creativity crisis, and they said that English state schools are facing a creativity crisis. Since 2010, enrollment in arts GCSEs has fallen by 40%, and the number of arts teachers has fallen by 23%. This shift is most pronounced amongst state schools in deprived areas, where pupils are far less likely to sing in a choir or play in an orchestra. And the reason I think this is important is because creativity is so fundamental to who we are as humans, and I think there's been way too much emphasis on being, like, quote-unquote academically intelligent and getting grades in, like, English and maths. But I think by doing that, we're making everyone kind of into clones of each other. I don't know, maybe this is just my opinion. And I think it's a real issue if everyone's kind of doing the same subjects, and then it becomes a direct comparison between grades, rather than some people getting better grades in subjects that they're more suited to and other people getting, like, good grades in those subjects as well. I think if we're kind of streamlining the education, then you're going to lack the variety and, like, skills that people have coming out of that. So the reasoning for this is because art subjects require a lot of space and resources, so they're often most vulnerable to budget cuts. So if the general amount of spending in schools is decreasing, so if the budget is decreased by a certain amount, that's going to affect the arts more than it will the sciences or the maths, for instance. So I think that's a potential explanation for this. So it's not necessarily that the students are not choosing them, it's maybe that the schools aren't offering them as much, but I think it's probably a combination of both. And again, back to the VNA. So research carried out for the VNA has showed that 82% of British people, over 44 million of us, consider ourselves to be creative in some form, with a further 57% believing that creativity is important to us. So why is it that if everyone is valuing creativity so highly, or 57% of us believe creativity is important to us, 82% of people in the UK consider themselves to be creative? So why are we decreasing the spending so much? Whole political debate there, I'm not going to go into it too much. But recently what I've noticed is when talking to people about the kind of career that I want to do, so for context, I've done a physics degree and I would love to go into a career in sustainability, in climate change, in science communication. Kind of a combination of all three of those would be amazing, and that is really what I want to pursue. However, when I say this to people, particularly when I talk more about the communication side of things and, like, writing about physics or creating content about science and kind of explaining climate change and convincing people on the policy side of things, which I'm also really interested in, people tend to say, like, oh, but yeah, but you should, that's such a waste, like, you should stick to the physics, like, you've done all that work, like, surely you're really intelligent and good at the physics side of things, like, the creative side isn't as important, or, like, that kind of message. And it's made me realise, well, I think I already knew it, but that's definitely the message that I received in school as well. So at A-level, well, at GCSE I did a whole range of different subjects, like, I did all the sciences, I did French, I did arts and food technology, which was quite creative. And then at A-level, I chose to do maths, physics, chemistry and French. And I chose the French because I really, like, didn't like the idea of only doing maths and science. And like I said at the start, like, I think I can see that in my degree. I'm, like, a bit resistant to only doing one thing. And I really miss languages. I love the creativity that languages offer, and the way that it uses your brain in such a different way, I think, is so valuable, and I really miss that. And I think that's something that I am not necessarily focusing on right now, but, like, languages is something I really want to do and continue to learn in the future, particularly French. So yeah, That was a little side note. But basically this whole message that is really widespread and so many people have said to me from like loads of different places and loads of different positions have said like, yeah, but we like just do the physics, like just I don't know, it's almost like if you're studying science that is the only thing that you should do because you've got that expertise. And I do get that to an extent, and I think maybe I'll come to miss the academic side of physics, but I honestly just think I need a bit of creativity, and that is so important to me. And also, I think that our world doesn't need that many more physicists. Like, yes, scientific advancement is great, and I think that there's such a place for that, and it is amazing, and it's so fascinating, and there's like obviously a need for that. But the issues that I see in our society are issues of particularly climate change, AI, which I'll discuss in a little bit. But I think if we're actually going to create a safe and a just world where everyone is looked after and everyone is kind of, I don't know, just, you know, combating climate change, and that comes with climate justice as well. And climate justice is essential to being able to create a just and equitable world. Like, it is so, so fundamental. I recommend checking out Michaela Loach's work if you're interested in climate justice, because her book is really, really, really good. I'm still not that far into it, but really enjoying it, and I think she has a great, great way of thinking about things. Anyway, that was a little side note. I think we need creative thinkers to make change, and I think creativity is so important and so undervalued, and I think we need creative thinkers with, of course, the intelligence and like the understanding of different aspects of society, but we need creative thinkers in positions of leadership. We don't need people who are only concerned with their own self-interest and only kind of caring about a subset of the population, or only like considering it from an economic point of view, which of course is important, but I think we just need a holistic understanding of things, and I think that requires creativity to do that, to see outside the box and to kind of view things in a slightly different way. And there's so many problems, like there's always going to be problems in society, but I just think if you're stuck in a certain mentality and not thinking outside the box, not thinking creatively, how are you ever going to solve those problems? So that's kind of my take on why creativity is important, and why I think it is kind of a little bit worrying that creativity is taking such a hit, particularly in schools in the UK. And I haven't actually looked into whether this is the same in other countries across Europe, across the world, I don't know. But anyway, I might do further research on that and you can look into that. But I think it's just an interesting starting point. I've just checked how long I've been recording for. Already 19 minutes, so maybe it's not a starting point. This episode is going to be a long one, I think, so I hope you're buckled in. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about, I've just spoken about how I dislike how we undervalue the arts and creativity, and how I think it's really kind of quite fundamental to our resilience and our success and creating a better world. I'm now going to touch on or speak about AI. AI is artificial intelligence, as you probably are aware, and I think this term is being thrown around a whole lot, and for good reason. Like, it is such an interesting and incredibly important topic that is very scary but also has a lot of potential. Okay, so if you aren't familiar, AI is the theory and development of computer systems being able to perform tasks that normally require human intelligence. So this might be visual perception, speech recognition, decision making, and translation. And we've seen the increase in AI, particularly you might have seen ChatGPT, other ones like Google's one is Bard, or there's Bing, and other things like that. We've seen AI kind of be slowly introduced, and in the last, I'd say, 6 months, it feels like it's rapidly, rapidly increasing. And there's, yeah, this is not necessarily just perception, like this is happening at such a huge rate of acceleration. And just as a disclaimer, like, I don't claim to be an expert on AI by any stretch of the imagination. I've read a little bit about it, and I've watched some things about it, and I've listened to podcasts, but like, I don't really, I don't know, it's all very big and very scary and like a whole different world. And I think for a while I've like tried to just ignore it and be like, oh yeah, but like, I don't need to worry about that, it's not concerning me. But the other day, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. I listened to the latest episode of Diary of a CEO, which is Stephen Bartlett's podcast. He's amazing. I really respect his work and stuff. I think he's really great role model. And his guest was Mo Gawdat, who I've definitely spoken about before on the podcast. Recently read his book, which was Soul for Happy. That was, I think, his first book. He's also written another book called Scary Smart, which is all about AI and its rise in our society. So Mo was the chief business officer at Google X, which is kind of the innovation arm of Google. And he left this job in 2018 to help focus on his main like core mission, which kind of resulted from his son Ali dying. If you don't know Mo, I so recommend looking at his work, reading his book, and just kind of interacting with his content. He has an amazing podcast called Slow Mo. But this episode of Diary of a CEO, Stephen has called the emergency episode, and the ex-Google officer finally speaks out on the dangers of AI. It's a bit of a dramatic title. It's not necessarily with the aim of panicking, it's more like we need to act on this now. And even if you have no interest whatsoever in AI, even if you think it's like crazy over your head and, I don't know, not relevant to you at all, if you're, yeah, you know, if you don't think it's relevant to you, I strongly advise you to go and listen to it and just kind of listen with an open mind and don't let it kind of scare you too much, even though it is terrifying. But like, I just think it's important to have awareness of what's going on, and this is like a huge thing. And from someone who takes climate change, like who does a lot of like reading on climate change and like really thinks it's a huge issue, AI is, it's happening with an unprecedented speed, and it's kind of like a bigger issue than climate change. It's all connected, I think, but it is a more urgent issue than climate change, and that's saying something, because in the next 10 years, like, the future of the Earth is going to be determined based on how we treat our planet, but also how we interact with AI. And it's a lot. It's a lot, I don't doubt that. But I would really ask you to listen to that latest episode of Diary of a CEO. So let's talk about this a little bit. So what I think is particularly worth me talking about from this episode is that Mo has kind of described AI currently as in its child phase. It's still an infant. We are its parents for the moment, and well, we'll be its parents forever, I guess, but currently we have a sway over how AI develops. Not necessarily in terms of its intelligence, I think that's going to progress on its own course, but Mo says that we have control currently, maybe not forever, but currently, over its ethics and its moral code, and how so it's learning from us, right? AI is learning from us, and it will continue to learn at an accelerating rate, but its moral code is going to be something that it uses to make decisions. So it doesn't fill me with huge hope that that humanity is the parents of AI, because humanity is currently destroying our planet and does not treat animals well, which are like living beings that have less intelligence than us, right? So doesn't look too great, and we exploit people even if they have the same level of intelligence as us, who have less power than us. So it's not necessarily that optimistic. However, we do have a lot of good traits in humanity, and I think it's really, really important to remember this and to like keep this close to how you view humanity, because if we don't see ourselves as good parents, then like there's kind of no chance in AI having any kind of respect, or I don't know. Anyway, it's all quite a lot. But basically at the moment we have to be good parents, because soon the AI is going to be a teenager and it's going to be throwing tantrums and learning all this other stuff. I don't even know. But how do I go on from this? Little side note is that I think something that's really important to do is to assess and to kind of like take stock of the content and the information that you're receiving. What do I mean by this? I mean, are you filling your brain every day with news of all of the destruction of humanity, of mass shootings in America, of, you know, natural disasters and the war in Ukraine and the cost of living crisis? Obviously these things are so important, and I think it's important to be aware of that. However, like, there's always good and bad, there's always a balance, and yes, there's huge amounts of destruction and negativity, but there's also huge amounts of abundance and positivity and love and all of these like beautiful qualities. And if you look at like, just take a look around you, like nature is so gorgeous, and I think we just brush past that so easily. And I think it's kind of a survival mechanism, I think it's our best survival mechanism, to choose to also see the amazing progress that we've made, particularly in things like climate change. Recently there was some really positive news about the ozone layer. The hole is like basically completely like there was a hole in the ozone layer, right, and it's healed itself essentially from our action and taking action and reducing our use of CFCs. Another really positive news story that I saw yesterday was that the British Museum has ended its sponsorship deal after 27 years with BP, basically as a result of protesters and campaigners to remove the influence of the fossil fuel giant BP from the arts world. And I think that's a really positive news story. It's showing that things are changing and that collaborative action really does work, and we've seen this time and time again. Another good one to look up is the Stop Cambo project. So there was going to be a huge oil field that was revoked because of the work of activists. Like, things can change and we do have a lot of sway, but I think you only have sway on making things more positive and improving the state of the world if you look for the good as well. And there is a lot of good. I really resent the fact that so many people say, oh yeah, but it's just naive, it's just, you're just being stupid, like we're all just doomed. Like, it's I don't see the point in thinking like that, because that's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, there's bad things, but there's also good things, you know, there's balance. So I think, this is a long side note, all I wrote down was like, just take stock of the information you receive and like think about the balance. Because it's important to remember that there is balance. Back to creativity. So something else that I think is really important here is to remember what makes us different from AI. So AI is going to take a lot of our jobs, and that is kind of inevitable. It's going to rapidly and drastically change the shape of our society, I think, having read the things that I've read. And that is kind of terrifying, like any change is pretty scary. But I think what we really need is to focus on like what makes us human. And that is a hard thing to pin down, I've realised. But one thing that I want to focus on is creativity. So Creativity and innovation have been named by many sources, such as LinkedIn, IBM, Forbes, the World Economic Forum, as the world's most important business skills for the 21st century. So that's creativity and innovation. Interesting, right? That's probably not what you expect people like Forbes and IBM to be calling the most important business skills, creativity and innovation. Maybe you do, because obviously you need new ideas and you need to implement them. But in typical kind of things that we tend to associate with business, we would say, like, I don't know, computational ability or people skills or like those sorts of things to be good markers of business people. So I found it quite interesting that they all labelled creativity and innovation as the most important skills. And another article kind of identified four essential qualities as the root of creativity. So we've got imagination, intuition, spontaneity, and curiosity. So personally, like, I would describe myself as a creative person. I think I need a bit of creativity in my life to be happy. I would say I have a huge imagination, and I'd say I'm pretty curious. However, I'm really, really not spontaneous. I like to have things planned out. I can be spontaneous, but it doesn't necessarily come natural to me. And I'd say intuition is an interesting one, because I think I have a good intuition, but I don't always listen to it. So that's interesting in itself, I think. But yeah, back to creativity. So these are kind of like suggested as four essential qualities at the root of creativity. And all of these, I would say, are pretty human qualities. I'm not sure, I don't know, maybe it will at some point, but I don't think that AI has an imagination. I don't think that AI is intuitive. Maybe it is, I'm not sure. Maybe it will be. Spontaneity, not sure about that one. Curiosity, I guess it is curious to learn more. So yeah, it's interesting to kind of question whether these things are innately human or if they're not. Just worth pondering upon. The next thing I wondered, if this is what makes us human, is the fact that we can make mistakes. And I think this is actually quite relevant, because, so say if you're watching a sports game full of loads of AI players, maybe that will be a reality in the future. We'll go to football games and there won't be football players who are paid ridiculous amounts of money. It will be AI, and they'll play games of football and we'll support them like they're real and they'll behave like they're real. Will that be as entertaining? I don't know. Does that take the predictability? Does that make it too predictable? Does that take the kind of like fun out of it? And if so, why? Is it because the human players can make mistakes, whereas AI players would be programmed or like trained in a certain way? I don't know. So that kind of led me to think that maybe it's our mistakes and like our flaws that are what make us human, and also what drive our creativity. Is that what drives our creativity? Being able to make mistakes and wanting to like find ways of doing it better, and to not make those mistakes, potentially. And another suggestion that I found in, I think it might have been the same article as the creativity and innovation one, is that it is inspiration that makes us human. So the little passage says, ChatGPT does not wake up every morning juiced up to explore solutions. Bing is not driven by inherent passion to overcome its personal challenges or to help others triumph over theirs. Bard doesn't get excited about a beautiful sunset or get insight over a glass of red wine or prefer morning or evening to do its work. Like, I think that made me think, because it is our, it's our differences, right? It's whatever makes us driven and what inspires us that makes us who we are. I thought that was quite an interesting concept, because I don't think I've thought about it in that way before. So another little side note, another little kind of task that you might want to have a think about, is what makes you human? What makes you you? And is it your passion? Is it your flaws? Is it your imagination or your creativity or your inspiration? And how can you develop your sense of self through whatever it is that you think makes you human? I think for me, like I was saying, when I lack creativity, I feel less like myself. And that's quite an interesting thing to realise. So I'm now like going forward with more passion about my creative projects, because that's what's gonna make me like have a sense of self, particularly with the rise of AI and them kind of being able to do things that we tended to think were only able to be done by humans. It's kind of again a little bit scary but also quite interesting. So yeah, maybe have a think about some of those things. I'd love to know what you think. Is it creativity that makes us who we are? Is it imagination or intuition, spontaneity, curiosity? Is it our mistakes? Is it our inspiration? I don't have the answers. I'm just kind of pondering on all of this and trying to figure it out, basically. Okay, so the next thing that I want to address and bring up, so we're going to park AI for a little bit, I'm going to park the creativity in schools thing. The next thing I want to talk about is masculine and feminine energies in a very patriarchal society that we live in. And I guess patriarchal societies are not necessarily prevalent in like all different societies, but from my perspective as someone who's grown up in the UK, that's what I've experienced, and so that's what I'm going to talk about. The other thing I want to say before I start talking about this is that I'm not talking about gender here. Gender is a societal construct that you can identify with however you like whatever gender you identify with, whatever way you see yourself, we all have masculine and feminine energies within us. I'm gonna maybe touch on that a little bit more in a bit, but bear with me. Okay, so if you aren't familiar about the concept of like different energies and kind of the way that we act through these different energies, so masculine energy, which everyone has, not just men, is characterized by doing and achieving and kind of like guided by logic and reason. And the feminine energy, again, which everyone has, not just women, is more intuitive. So it's oriented towards receiving and allowing and letting things be. And yeah, it's characterized by being. So we've got the masculine, which is like doing, and the feminine, which is being. And when both of these energies are balanced in ourselves, we experience a greater sense of harmony and fulfillment. I'll leave this article linked below. So you might be familiar with the kind of Chinese philosophies of yin and yang, and these are two forces that work in opposition to achieve the same goal or to create the sense of balance, and they believe that the yin and the yang should be balanced together. So I'll briefly expand on this because it is very similar concepts. So yin is the kind of feminine energy, so to speak. So it's a symbol of the earth, of passivity, of absorption, of darkness, and it's apparently represented by the tiger. Yang is kind of the masculine energy, so it is a symbol of light and activity, and it says penetration, and it's represented by the dragon. Interesting. So we naturally have these two kind of opposing forces that work together to achieve something or to create this sense of balance. So yeah, I just thought it was interesting to bring that in because it's not necessarily just a modern concept of like masculine and feminine energies. It's not associated with gender. It is quite a innate, like more of a spiritual side of things, which I think is pretty interesting. And so in our patriarchal society, we have kind of associated, And this is why I think people misconstrue this idea when you're talking about masculine and feminine energies, because it seems like it's a comparison between men and women. But I think it's actually a result of the patriarchal ideas about like gender and the binary, like gender binary, that we associate the like softer, more passive, more like gentle feminine qualities with women, and we associate the tougher, like more like active qualities with men. But really, like, we all have all of those traits and we can tap into all of them, and we should kind of balance them out and be in this constant swing of going between the two and using them together. But I think the issue with the patriarchy comes in because we've been socially conditioned into maybe only presenting or like outwardly showing some of these traits, and particularly that has become associated with gender. So if you're a woman, you've probably been brought up to be quieter, to not speak your mind as much, to be more passive, to be more receptive to people's emotions. And if you're a man, then you've probably been brought up to be not as in tune with your emotions. This is obviously generalizations. And if you're non-binary, then you've probably spent your whole life kind of not feeling like you can identify with either, and that's a whole other topic in itself. And yeah, I think it's a really fascinating concept. And yeah, I think this whole thing is just it's a really important topic to talk about, because we speak so much about finding gender balance between men and women, but I think it's so much bigger than that, and we need to just all in ourselves tap into both sides of who we are, and like to find that balance. And I think something that I've struggled with is, well, I say struggled with, it's not necessarily as dramatic as that, but I think for me, I've spent a lot of years kind of really focused on the productivity side of things, on the outward kind of like active side of things, and like all of the qualities that we'd associate with being more masculine, because I kind of have noticed that that is what has been like asked of me, and I guess I've just done that without necessarily questioning it as much. And also, because we're in a patriarchal society, like, you kind of need those qualities to get ahead, and if you're not actively going out and getting it, it's seen that you won't be as successful. So there's a whole other thing to discuss there. But I think creativity is an interesting one, because, so like I touched on earlier, we have the two main qualities that are deemed to be important for business, so creativity and innovation. And so in that context, creativity is more about the thinking part of that, and innovation would be more the doing part of that, the action part. And I think you can think about this in the same terms of masculine and feminine. So we need the creative thinking, the so-called feminine, and we also need the action part to make it happen, to implement it. Otherwise, it's just ideas. So this whole balance between creativity and productivity is important. And there was a podcast that I listened to ages ago, probably. I remember listening to it on the bus on the way to my like place of work when I was doing my internship. So it must have been last summer, and they were talking about the same topic, and the analogy they used is, say you're an artist, you're a painter, you need both of this to work. Like, people tend to think of artists as very creative people, as maybe like more in the dreamy side of things. However, even an artist like uses both. So if they were to work on one painting and get it absolutely perfect, and to spend all that energy like really kind of creating this masterpiece for a year, then at the end of the year they've got one piece, and it might be amazing, but they've got one piece. However, they could also spend their time creating one piece or like two pieces a week, which would give them about 100 different pieces of art. However, the quality of that is going to be probably a lot less. So it's finding the balance in between them both, and you need to have output in order to make money, in order to kind of show people what you're doing, I guess, and to implement those ideas and make them a reality. But you also do need to spend time thinking about it and not just doing things for the sake of it and having the thought process behind it and kind of, you know, again, the idea of balance. It's just, you know, the yin and the yang and making them work in harmony. Okay, so my conclusion, I think, from this little section is that I think many of society's problems have been the result of an imbalance between these energies, of particularly too much doing and not enough being. And I think that is the result of the patriarchal society favouring the output rather than the whole kind of system. Side note, something that's just popped into my head. If you're interested in this in terms of an economics point of view, Kate Raworth is an amazing economist, and her theory of donut economics, or like circular economics, is really fascinating, and I think something that will really help the future of this planet. So typically we have a linear economic system where we prioritise GDP, the output and the kind of amount of growth that a country experiences each year. However, that has led to like us exceeding the planetary boundaries. So the donut is the idea that we have a sweet spot in the middle. So in the centre, we have no economic growth, and that leads to like unemployment and people not being fulfilled and, you know, a society that doesn't really function. And then as we expand and go outwards from the centre of the circle, we have this sweet spot where we're, you know, enough growth that is healthy for our society. But if we push it too far, then we exceed the planetary boundaries and we have things like inequity and the destruction of habitats and climate change and injustice, and we can't go that far either. So the donut economics idea is the idea of like being in that sweet spot. And again, it's balance. It's all balance. I think this like imbalance of too much doing and not enough being has, for example, looked like the exploitation of indigenous peoples, of enslavement, of destruction of habitats, of endlessly producing and producing and producing, and then overconsumption of food and media and material goods in today's society that we see. I also think it looks like mental health epidemics, of people not being connected to each other, of loneliness, of the drop in creative subjects being taken in schools, for instance. And I just think in general, there's too much pressure being put on people, and that leading to people feeling inadequate and like they can't make a difference and that they're just too overwhelmed. And I'm definitely guilty of this. Like I'm not excluding myself from this at all. And I think to some extent it is the environment, and that is not your fault, but also there's a degree of personal responsibility, and you have some say over what you choose to prioritise and what you choose to do and how you choose to act. And I've definitely, time and time again, not given myself enough rest, being too overproductive of prioritising achievements over like health and wellness. And I think coming to the end of my degree and to the end of this episode, I have just started to realise how much I was not prioritising creativity and overexerting the kind of masculine energies and not being as intuitive, not being as creative and leaning into those feminine energies that are so important for balance. And so moving forward, I just want to prioritise that more, and I'm going to try and keep it in my mind, particularly when I'm looking for jobs and, you know, considering next moves and things. I want to ensure that I'm spending my time in ways that is healthy for me and healthy for the planet, and like doing things that I care about, because that is, I just think it's important. And it's, even when I'm saying it, I'm like, yeah, but like you should just go for a job that's like good enough or well paid or whatever else. But I don't know, for all of the reasons that I've mentioned in this episode, for finding our humanity in the face of increasing AI, for making us happy and well balanced, and for treating people fairly and equally, like I think creativity is so fundamental. So yeah, that is my little spiel. It's been quite a long spiel, actually. It's been almost an hour long. I've been recording for 52 minutes and it feels like literally 5 minutes. So I really hope you have stuck with it to the end and that you found it interesting. I have really enjoyed digging into all of this and thinking about it in more detail. And again, please let me know what you think. I would love to have a chat about it. I'm going to leave a little like Q&A box underneath. If you have any suggestions for things that you want me to talk about more for future episodes, if you're listening on Spotify, that is, there's a little Q&A box that you can type in any questions or any feedback or anything that you want to tell me. You can also email me spacetolearnpodcast@gmail.com. I will update that at some point to be Lucy Talks, but haven't yet. Yeah, I hope this has been a little bit of motivation. If you feel like you want to be more creative and you feel like you're lacking in your sense of self and are maybe a bit directionless, hopefully this will give you some kind of, you know, direction or just a little like nudge in the direction of something that is fulfilling to you. And don't let people tell you that it is not important, because you are important and you deserve to be doing things that are benefiting you and benefiting others and just all of that fun stuff, you know? Okay, I'm gonna leave this episode here, but I really hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll be back again next Monday with another episode of Lucy Talks. And until then, have a lovely, lovely week. Enjoy the sunshine if it's sunny where you are, and I love you lots. Bye.